Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Victim Study. My name's Barbara P., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I'll just ask if everybody can check that they're muted. We have a little bit of background noise. Today is Tuesday, May 19th. This is the 10 a.m. meeting. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We'll be on page 38, third paragraph. Some of you are thinking, and it ends with the end.
Barbara, you got muted. Sorry.
Okay, got it. I am back. I don't know where we left off. Let me just start again because we can go quickly. Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. I'm Barbara P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And today is May 19th. Our 10 a.m. Eastern meeting, and we're reading from the Big Book, page 38, third paragraph. Today's readers are, we have Tanya P. reading our steps, Kate F. reading our traditions, Shelley E. will be our reader of the text, Chanel T. will be our closing reader to end the text. We have our newcomer greeter, Devorah S., and our announcements will be made by Robin P., so stand by for all of that. Reference numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting, May 18th, is 23,469, 23469, and then this morning's 7 a.m. meeting, May 19th, 23,471. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I'd like to ask Tanya P. from Michigan to please read our 12 steps.
Good morning, this is Tanya P.
Gotcha.
From Michigan. I'm a compulsive overeater, and these are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Tanya P. from Michigan. Kate F., would you please read our traditions? Kate's from Washington State.
Thank you, Barbara, and good morning, everyone. This is Kate F. from Washington. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Well, thanks very much. Kate F. from Washington State. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. I'll be timing. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we're going to resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 38, the third paragraph, starting with some of you are thinking and ending with thanks for the information. So I'd like to ask Shelley E. from Texas to get us started. Shelley, go right ahead.
Good morning. Thank you. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 38. Some of you are thinking, yes, what you tell us is true, but it doesn't fully apply. We admit we have some of these symptoms, but we've not gone to the extremes you fellows did, nor are we likely to. For we understand ourselves so well after what you have told us that such things cannot happen. We've not lost everything in life through drinking, and we certainly do not intend to. Thanks for the information. I apologize. I know my voice sounds weird because I have a migraine, but I'm going to get through this. Let's see. Some of you are thinking, yes, but you tell us it's true, but it doesn't fully apply. We admit we have some of these symptoms. Not gone to the extremes, nor are we likely to. I have in brackets, nor are we likely to. It's kind of a ba-dum-bum, you know, just waiting for the other shoe to drop. I have to say that everything that I have read in the big book completely applies to myself. And I believed that from the very first day that I walked in the doors. I was very fortunate to have my very first meeting was an in-person meeting. And because I was new, they sat down with me and they read the doctor's opinion. And it was a eureka moment for me. I was like, oh my gosh, all this time I thought it was just a push away from the table, or I thought it was just, can I have control, or the next diet. In fact, I think I picked up the big book and kind of in the back for the diet, thinking I wasn't going to have to read all the verbiage. Thank God I know differently now. I also understand, I haven't had a relapse, but I understand from all of you and having listened to all of you and learned from all of you that I'm only one mishap, one step, one bite away. And I appreciate all the experience that you guys share with me, you know, to help me stay where I am. Because when I entered these rooms, I could lose weight, and I had lost weight many times, a lot of weight. But my head, I was such a control freak, didn't even realize it. I thought I was so kind, and people would say, oh, you know, alcoholics or overeaters are selfish people. And I thought, that's the one thing you're never going to convince me, I'm not selfish. Well, come to find out by the end of, you know, 164, I realized I was quite a selfish person. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is I figured out that, my life has changed completely having come in these rooms and having, from the very first day I started with Vision, when I went to OA, and having all of you put my hand in my higher power's hand, I would take all the weight back in a second before I take that crazy head back. And I'm so grateful not to be living in that, that confusion, the control, the trying to get to the next bite. Thanks for bearing with me, and I hope some of it made sense. I'm gonna stand on the excuse of the migraine, but really, I usually screw up anyway. Anyways, you guys have a good day, and thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Shelly E, for pushing through, and it made total sense. Amazing. So, hope you feel better. Let's see. So now we are going to proceed with sharers. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this very juicy paragraph?
Margaret O. from Connecticut.
Margaret O.
Lou Ann C.
Lou Ann, gotcha.
Regina V. from California.
Regina V, got you. And who else?
Lisa N.
Okay, got Lisa N.
Michelle AC in Colorado.
Michelle AC, got you.
Kathy M.
Kathy, got you. Great, fantastic. If you want, we can stop there and we'll swing back. We'll have more time for sure. That's a great list. I've got Margaret O, Luann C, Regina V, Lisa N, Michelle AC, and Kathy M. So let's start there. And then everybody else, stand by and get ready to add your name later. Margaret O from Connecticut, please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you for doing your service this morning, leading the meeting, and for the first share. Margaret O from Connecticut, on a beautiful, finally summer day. Tell us, but it doesn't fully apply. Oh my gosh. So yeah, I'm always, my disease always wants to not identify in, like, you know, hey, you're different from other people. You always have been, and this is just another group of people, and you're, you know, you don't quite fit in to the, you know, profile here. It's okay. You can be loose. You can just kind of wing it. You don't have to, you know, play by all the rules. And that is the disease's conversation. But I tell you, it is a process. I am recovering. I am working my program imperfectly. Although I have to say that on awakening every day, the setting my intention and striving throughout the day to lean into HP, like, okay, what, just like it says, you know, we look at the 24 hours ahead, we consider our plans for the day, you know, we ask God to direct our thinking, that's all through the day, you know, like, how can I be of service, you know, what is your will in this situation, and I'm kind of grappling with some challenging, you know, decisions to make around family members and trips I'm about to take, and it's important for me to be on these meetings and share and listen and learn and continue to lean in and stay in the middle of the herd, because it's a process and I'm changing, thanks be to God. And my character defects that I'm powerless over, you know, I'm aware of them. I'm doing 10 steps. You know, it's like Harlan G. says, the buildup of human emotion, you know, and that's what triggers the out, you know, the mental twist to say, hey, food looks like the alternative here. And it's just not. It's such a dead end. And it actually, you know, one step forward, two steps back kind of thing. But you want to do two steps forward. If you have to do one step back, you know, hey, you know, we're only human. But at the same time, I want to hold myself to a standard that God wants for me, not just that I want, but that God wants for me so I can stay close to him and do his work well. That's the goal for me. That's all I'm here for. I'm not here to prove my worth or, you know, how I measure up. That is all ego, fear-based pride that needs to be dismantled and annihilated. So thanks for everybody being here. Welcome to the newcomers, and I pass.
Thanks so much. Margaret O. from Connecticut. Luann C., come on in. Let us know where you're from.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm so excited to be on the meeting today because I haven't been able to get in for 2 days. And I just wanted to thank whoever took my service position today, and Team Vision got me in. I was just so happy to be a part of the team. I'm Luann C., and I am so grateful to be recovered and on my feet in Boise, Idaho today. You know, this passage completely describes how I came in to the program. You know, that was my attitude. You know, I had my 1,200 calorie gold standard diet, and, you know, I came in, I was going to one meeting a week, and, you know, I was, everything was working. You know, I was just, you know, I was losing weight, which of course is why I came in. And, you know, I read and heard what people shared, and I congratulated myself that, you know, I wasn't as bad as this thing described. So, you know, naturally I thought self-knowledge and intellectual knowledge would still work. I just didn't have the right knowledge yet, was what I thought. And I was on that pink cloud where everything was working. So I had evidence that my current knowledge and level of spiritual life was spot on, you know. I just couldn't understand why you all were having so much trouble, you know. But thank God the day came when the pink cloud evaporated and nothing was working. And I was back struggling in the quicksand, and I had to see, you know, I wasn't really working the program, you know, that I needed to open up my ears and be open to maybe I didn't know something. What was this about? And that, you know, started my journey. And I'm very grateful for that I could see I needed something more. And the only thing I did perfectly was I just kept coming back and listening and learning. And, you know, today I'm recovered and I'm just so grateful to have my sanity back. So anyway, thank you to everybody who helped me this morning and everybody on the line. Hope you have a great day. I pass.
Thank you so much. Luann C. from Idaho. And we knew you were probably having trouble, so no worries. If you'd like, you may do the closing reading. That's where you were lined up for, and we had you backed up, but I'm sure Chanel
will. Oh, I would be happy to do that. Mind.
Okay, so we'll count on you for that. And Chanel, thank you for being ready to, but now Chanel can relax today. So
thank
right,
you.
All right, Luann, we got you there. So Luann C., thanks so much. Regina V. from California, please come on in and share.
Hi, everybody. My name is Regina V. from California, and I am a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. And this page or this paragraph describes me exactly. when I first came into a food program, not necessarily OA, but another food program, I really didn't identify. You know, I was like, well, I was never 300 pounds, and I never dumpster dived, and I never this and that, so I'm not as bad as everybody else. I was probably 50 pounds overweight, but in medical terms, that was complete morbid obesity, you know, but I was in denial, right? And then I used to also never identify because I felt like, well, all my life I've, you know, trying to control my food and eat salads and green juices and all that stuff, so I really don't identify, but I don't want to go blind because I have diabetes and I have to lose the weight. So for a long, long time, I kept on slipping and sliding and doing all these things and always thinking, well, I noticed that I can get back on the horse again immediately, like the next day. Well, once I joined OA, it got really difficult. I gained 40 pounds, and my last binge was so horrible. One of the few times in my life, I felt truly hopeless. Like, oh my God, I might never be able to, you know, stay abstinent. Like, I truly felt scared. And, you know, they say that this disease is a progressive disease. Well, you know, it took 5 years to get to that point where, like, I felt like, oh my God, I might never get my abstinence again. Whereas before, I would. I'd get it the next day and the next day, you know. And so I always felt like, maybe, like, I'm invincible. Another thing I'm learning in OA is that I want a connection with my higher power. I need to enlarge my spiritual life. And when I first came into the food programs, it wasn't that at all. I just felt, I guess it was like a diet with group support. And now I see it so differently. And I thirst, and that's the word I like to use. I thirst for, you know, a spiritual life and a deep, intimate connection with my higher power. Thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Regina V. from California. Lisa N., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Michelle A.C. And Lisa, let us know where you're from.
Sure. Thank you so much, moderator, for taking the meeting this morning. This is Lisa N., recovered one day at a time with God's grace and mercy from Wisconsin. And I am so grateful for all of you and the meeting today. Thank you very much for all of you doing service and being on the line and sharing. I like it because it begins, this is a really nice way to start a sentence. Some of you are thinking, and the reason that they know that some of you are thinking this is because we were you once. So they're saying, you know, we know that, you know, this might not fully apply to you or that you don't have all the symptoms. We thought that same way. We felt that same way. And that's really what they're saying here to the reader or the newcomer. You know, we get exactly what you're doing. They're sharing their experience, basically, in this paragraph. And, you know, I didn't understand that when I first started sponsoring people. I didn't understand that, you know, I wasn't just there to listen to them, though that was important. But a lot of people just kind of wanted to talk, and I didn't get that. So when they're really, truly ready, they are ready to listen to what you say. They are wanting to know how to do this thing because everything they've tried hasn't worked. And I know that because that was me. When I came into the meeting the first time, it was an in-person meeting here in Wisconsin, and I really thought I knew everything about weight loss and dieting, though I couldn't keep it off. And I thought I knew everything about spirituality, too. I studied all kinds of different spiritual ideas. And the truth is, this is different. This is different than anything you've tried. And if you're new, hang in there and wait for the miracle, because it really does. There's something so miraculous about it. It's just shocking. I know that for the first month that I really worked the steps, not the first 2 years, because that I just came and sort of was there, not really listening. When people would say things, I would say, yeah, but you're still fat. And, you know, I mean, it was just, I wasn't ready. My heart and mind were not open. But when I was panicky and frightened, and my heart and mind were like, tell me what to do, that is when I started getting better. And it wasn't about being perfect or anything. It was about being a sick person coming in, needing a healing. And that's what I got. And so that's all I've got. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Lisa N. from Wisconsin. And Michelle A.C., you'll be up next from Colorado. Let me just repeat where we are for anyone who came in. Page 38, third paragraph. Some of you are thinking, ending with, thanks for the information. Ending in that one paragraph. Michelle, you're up, and Kathy M., you'll be following.
Hi, thank you so much. This is Michelle A.C., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. And what struck me about this was that little phrase, doesn't fully apply. And it's been something that's been showing up everywhere for me in the past week or two, that comparison is part of how my disease works. It's a big part of how my disease works. I kind of think of it like one of those Rube Goldberg machines where there's like a gear that hooks up to a flying pulley, right? But it's one of the big gears in the disease for me. I compare myself to myself previously. I compare myself to you. I compare how sick I was to how sick you were. And I think after having to look at it for a couple of weeks that it's meant to isolate me. It's meant, like, the disease wants to whisper in my ear, you're not okay. Because when I'm in a state of feeling not okay, I will give in to the disease and do whatever I need to do to make myself feel better. And that can vary depending on the, I don't know what, the cycle of life I'm in. But it's so prevalent, and it's in such subtle ways that it just helps me to feel separate and different from you all, separate and different from like my place in the order of things, my place in the universe, my higher power. And it's just so insidious. And I did know that, like, looking in the mirror constantly, body checking was one of the things I had to put on my list of alcoholic behaviors I couldn't do. But I realized that's comparison, because I'm comparing how I look today to how I looked 5 minutes ago. I realized that, like, trying on a pair of jeans to see if it fits me yet is also comparison, and I can't do it. But now I'm realizing that, like, comparing my life choices to other people's life choices, thinking that they did something better than I did, doing anything that takes me out of the flow of just here's the next right thing, it isolates me from the path I'm supposed to be on and the person I'm supposed to be in life. And it gives the disease a little bit of an edge. And so I was going to the birthday party last January, and the disease kept telling me, you know, your body doesn't look okay and people are going to judge you for it. And it was a form of comparison. Here I am going to an OA event, looking at everybody else and thinking, you know, do I look okay? And it's like, of all places in the world where we would understand that, right? But then it also extends to, like, is my food the same as other people's? Is my food okay? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? You know, and my nutritionist and I have the same conversation once a month. She says, you are in a fabulous spot. And I say, I don't know. You know, I think I might need to lose more weight. I don't look the way I think I'm supposed to look. And she says, you're exactly at your goal weight and every month. And I think it's a form of comparison, that I'm comparing myself to some ideal that doesn't exist. And so I just think that thing of doesn't fully apply, I'm different than you, is the wedge that my disease gets in there. And then all the other character defects can rush into that little gap and start messing with my head. So that's really what I've got. And thanks for letting me share.
Well, thanks so much, Michelle A.C. from Colorado. Kathy M., you're up, and then we'll be taking another list of names. So stand by if you think you'd like to share.
Good morning. This is Kathy M. from Michigan, recovered compulsive overeater, just for today, as always. I don't know why I shared today. I definitely identify with whether or not I fully identified with all of the symptoms listed in the book, and provided. Yes, I didn't fall into the depths of the low bottom that many of the AAers had in the book, but I had my own level of low bottom, which was, I think, pretty bad. But the thing that's interesting is that for some reason, I just felt the need to share today. I've been feeling overwhelmed with many, many things happening in my life, just normal busy things, and I'm a little resentful at other people's demands on my time. And I guess that's a form of selfishness and a form of and a resentment. And I need to remember to do a 10th step to let that go, multiple 10th steps, probably every day. But I just thought this really fits, because when I get super busy or I get overwhelmed or I get resentful of other people, you know, demanding my time, I tend to fall into the hurry, what's in the refrigerator, open the refrigerator up and look around in there and see what's in there. And then I remember, like, nope, that's not my food. That's not my food. And I just have to remember that working the program needs to happen whether or not I am busy, whether or not there are demands on my time. And those demands on my time need to be worked around my program. And I need to be able to fit in all of my program work, including sponsorship. And I've been neglectful of talking to my own sponsor. And I've been not neglectful of a sponsee, because I have a sponsee, but she's in relapse and she contacts me every now and then, and I'm open to talking to her and everything, but she's just not quite there yet. But I feel like I've been letting my program kind of fall to the back because I'm feeling so busy. And I'm really glad I was able to share today. I thank all of you for being here every day. I'm really pleased to reconnect and kind of feel a little bit more at peace after the share and after hearing all of you with your wonderful shares. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Kathy M. Great to hear you. So let's see, who else would like to share? And just a reminder, if you have shared in the past 3 days, please hold back and so that others might share their experience too. Who else would like to share?
This is Sarah
Eddie from New Jersey,
from California.
Okay, I've got Sarah. I'm in California. And who is the second person?
Eddie from New Jersey.
Is that Eddie from New Jersey?
Teddy with a T.
Eddie, gotcha. Okay. Thanks. Who else?
Kate F. from Washington.
Kate, got you.
Lori T. from California.
Lori.
Mary Frances from Pennsylvania.
Okay. So let's take those five, and then let me see how much time we have in the air. So we should maybe have another minute, but not sure. So Sarah M., California, you go right ahead, and Teddy, you'll be following Sarah.
Hi, this is Sarah N. as in Nancy from Sacramento, California, compulsive overeater. I needed to hear this section read and discussed today. I think, yeah, we have not lost everything in life through eating, and we certainly do not intend to. Definitely applies to me, because there is still a part of me that thinks that my intent is relevant, and it isn't. It isn't. I had a very what seems to be a fairly unusual way in which I got in program, which was that my business team chose to pay a real lot of money to go to this business coaching program. And the whole point of the program turned out to be training us to be willing to actually have people coach us. And on the very last day that the person who was running the program pulled me aside to to say, do you realize you show up like an alcoholic? You show up like someone who would lie, steal, or cheat to get whatever she wanted. And I burst into tears and said, I'm not an alcoholic, but is there such a thing as like an alcoholic with food? And the next week I started OA. And I was willing, because of that, even though I was only, quote unquote, 50 pounds above the weight I wanted to be at, but I was panicked because I was heading back up to the 100 pounds above the weight I wanted to be at, with 250 pounds. 250 was my top weight, and I was headed back up, and nothing I was doing was working, and I had been spending my whole life being an award-winning, quote-unquote, dieter, and then being at goal weight for a minute and a half, and then gaining it all back with interest. And then I spent 20 years in OA with much of that weight off, doing everything that anybody, that my sponsor or anybody suggested that I do, but also with an idea that I didn't have to, that I could play around a little and make some, I didn't believe that I could eat food that wasn't on my food plan, but I did believe that I could eat more food of the, and I could eat, there were foods that I could eat and control and enjoy, and that quote, that my intent was relevant. And I learned that my intent to not lose everything in life was not relevant. Not by losing everything in life. Is that time?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I'll keep coming back. I am abstinent and happy and thrilled to be in vision.
Hey, Sarah N. from California. Teddy from New Jersey. Come on in. Please share.
Thank you. My name is Teddy, compulsive eater and binger from New Jersey. Thanks for everybody's service. To me, the reading was, I felt like it was about comparing oneself to another. And that's actually one of my character defects. I do that sometimes. I compare myself to others, and I'm a lot better now, but that only brings unhappiness. And I'm not in competition with anybody, I'm just trying to become the best version of myself and to stay sober. I can admit to the previous chapters about the jaywalker and all that, like how I was a low bottom compulsive eater and binger. I have I lost 200 pounds. That was, that's how my bottom was. I've lost all the weight now because of OA and my heart and God. This program does work. I struggled with it for many years, really suffered a lot of pain and misery, guilt and shame from compulsive eating and binging. It took me like for 2 years, 3 years, I was coming to OA, keep relapsing for 3 years. But I knew one day that God would help me get sober, and I did. And I just stayed off my alcoholic foods. I have a great sponsor who's tough on me, which I don't, I was never used to. But with this program, I definitely need a tough sponsor. This is not easy for me. And we'll wrap up by saying, I just thankful I'm sober. Thanks for God. And one last thing also is I struggle in the mornings with depression, maybe more than others do. And I have to realize I can't compare myself to others. Like, they just get up, get the coffee, they go, and they're out ready to go to work and all that. So I have to realize that I'm not quite there yet. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for listening.
All right. Thanks so much, Teddy from New Jersey. Kate F. from Washington, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Lori T.
Thank you, Barbara. This is Kate F. from Washington State, recovering compulsive overeater. This is my yeah, but paragraph. yeah, but. You know, the previous paragraph asked me to really reflect on two big questions. It started with a question mark and it ended with a question mark. So right away, the book is inviting me into, okay, now how's your response to these questions? So it's like saying, Kate, I know you're thinking that what we're telling you is true. And automatically I begin to discount, kind of dismiss, because I think I already know what's true. It's like my set-aside prayer every day. What I think I already know, and based on that information and those lies I believe and tell myself, I can already tell you that, yeah, but. Because truth of this program can be uncomfortable and inconvenient and unsettling. So if I don't truly invest and buy in, I can convince myself I can hang on to a shred of self-reliance, even though time and time again it proves unreliably to be my downfall. In that last line of this paragraph, I just love, thanks for the information, because I say that so often to salespeople, maybe over the phone or people stopping me on the street. I'm kind about it, but it's like, nope, don't have time, don't have an open mind, don't want to listen, I'm on to better things. So I'm just going to set this aside also. And so today I'm entering into this, all of your wonderful inspirations for me to ask myself, how fully invested am I in my program today? Thank you, and I pass.
Well, thanks so much, Kate F. Lori T. from California, you are up.
Oh, thanks. I'm Lori T. from California, and I'm an overeater and a bulimic. I have been suffering from terminal uniqueness, I think, since I was born. I'm still working on it. As I'm really glad this topic came up today, this paragraph, because I'm already looking back over my life and can and I still see how I suffer from this unique. I'm not like you. But, I mean, not with everyone. It's gotten a lot better. But I realize I've been arguing with my sponsor again. I have 25 days today. So to me, that's a friggin' miracle. I'm arguing with my sponsor. And I'm like, why am I arguing? I mean, why can't I stop fighting everything and everyone? So I'm definitely a work in progress. And some things are worse than others, but mostly I want to be one person among many. I don't want to be the best, even though part of me does want to be the best. I try to just sit in with the crowd, because the truth is, I'm not better than anyone else, and I'm not worse than anyone else. But it took me a long time, I think, in OA, to find the people that I can really relate to, which are more on the bulimic side. But I picked a man sponsor who's both. So it's been a different journey for me, and it seems to be working. We finished working the 12 steps in 2 weeks, so I'm looking forward to sponsoring again and really helping others. So thank you for letting me share. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks for being of service.
Thanks so much, Lori T. from California. Mary Frances, you are up, and we'll see if we have any more time.
Good morning. This is Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania. Thank you for your service this morning, and I'm just so grateful to be on the line, and I'm really grateful for everybody's shares this morning, very deep and meaningful. What I got out of this paragraph and what it means to me is how my journey has been in OA. I doesn't fully apply, and I have some of these symptoms, and I've not lost everything. What you've told me is true, but somehow in my brain, I did not concede to my innermost self that I was a real food addict, a real compulsive overeater. And even though in my subconscious mind over the past 43 years, I spent my time trying to prove that to you by continuing to go out and, you know, indulge in my alcoholic foods, I kept coming back. I kept trying to prove that I belonged, and yet I kept going out. And what I learned about myself and what I didn't like about myself is that I wanted to belong. Like, that was something I truly always wanted, was to belong. But because I was pretending, I felt like a fraud. You know, I pretended like I was working the program, and I pretended like I was okay. You know, that when people would say, "How are you?" "I'm fine. I'm just fine." No, I wasn't fine. You know, and so inside I felt like a fraud. And so what this program gives me is an opportunity to put those masks down, the pretend Mary Frances, and be the real Mary Frances, someone who does struggle, someone who isn't perfect, someone who does struggle with superiority and inferiority, and who, you know, messes up in relationships and, you know, says the wrong thing or does the wrong thing and feels uncomfortable in social situations. And all of that is A-okay, because I'm a human being, and this program is helping me maneuver life in relationships without using food to buffer me. And it's hard. It's hard because I've always used the food to buffer me. But today, I don't need to do that. And is it easy? No. But I have the support and the love of all of you. And thank God, because I don't have to pretend anymore. So I don't have to feel like a fraud anymore. And I can, you know, say out loud, "I'm afraid," or "This is hard," and it's okay. So I'm just really grateful to be here, and I'm just really grateful for all the shares today and for everybody giving service. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Ah, great. Thank you so much, Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania, and you've closed us out. And so we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Lillian C. come on in and read that for us?
Okay, thank you. I'm Lillian C. from Boise, Idaho. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.